Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMZ's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us in the studio today for Medical Monday is my friend, Dr. Jeff Perkins. He specializes in internal and preventative medicine, including holistic care. He's been practicing internal medicine for 40 years. He's been an assisting clinical professor of medicine at the Albany Medical College and the chief of internal medicine at St. Peter's Hospital, 92 through 98. His interests are in diagnosis and disease prevention, and in Albany, he's known as the doctor's doctor. Welcome, Jeff Perkins.
Thank you, Alan. A pleasure to be here.
Okay, so let me start by, when I said, what do you want to talk about today? You did mention something that really got my attention, and that was?
Testosterone, low testosterone issues.
Okay, just educate me, because as you know, I don't know a lot, but do women have testosterone in their bodies?
Yes, they do. Both men and women make testosterone, men primarily, but women do make very small amounts of testosterone between the ovaries and the adrenal glands, mostly the ovaries, until a woman either has them surgically removed or goes through natural menopause. And when a woman goes through natural menopause, in most women, the shift to testosterone production shifts to the adrenal glands, but not in all. Some women don't make the shift, and they end up having relatively low testosterone levels for women, which can affect them adversely.
And why do we men need us testosterone?
Well, men have most testosterone, and testosterone is that hormone which actually has helped us survive for hundreds of thousands of years. I mean, testosterone is the hormone which helps us deal with fight or flight, with aggression, fighting off predators, survival, hunting, running. And testosterone in normal amounts allows us to, when necessary, to be aggressive, physically and verbally aggressive.
And so what is the downside in men and women, if there is any in women, of not having enough testosterone?
Yeah. Well, first of all, in women, when testosterone is very, very, very low, is what happens in some women is they lose the desire to have sex. It's called hypoactive sexual desire disorder. And they just don't really have much of an interest anymore. Their libido decreases. Sex is not pleasurable as it may have been when they were making small amounts of testosterone. For men, testosterone not only is necessary for strength and speed, but of course also for sexual function, for libido and normal sexual activity. And the absence of it, for all kinds of different reasons, can cause a man to be, tired, fatigued, excessively fatigued, more than expected for his age, can contribute to erectile difficulties, ejaculatory difficulties, mood disorders, a whole host of things when testosterone is lower than normal.
So what do you do? If you go to get a test and then you find out you don't have enough, then what do you do?
Well, the first thing is the physician really is responsible for finding out why you're not making enough testosterone anymore. Is this like the equivalent of a female menopause, i.e. manopause, or is there an underlying disorder? For example, there can be pituitary tumors can precipitate low testosterone. Low testosterone is more common in diabetic men. A lot of people don't know this, but in people who take chronic narcotic pain medications to treat chronic pain have a higher chance of developing low testosterone. Mm-hmm. So the important thing is to look for an underlying cause, or is this just that the man and his testicles are aging out and not making enough testosterone?
We will take a fast call from Jim in Matamoros. Okay, Jim, you're up.
Following up on the endocrinopathies, what about the possible link between bisphenols, the compounds found in the lining of tin cans, and also cash register receipts, and hyperthyroidism?
Well,
and the other one,
you're one to a customer, Jim. One to a customer. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Jim, it's a great question. I don't, however, know a specific answer, but I know as physicians, and all of us should be concerned about the various types of chemicals that have been introduced in our environment, plasticizers, all these sorts of things that human beings were really not designed to be exposed to. These are man-made synthetic sorts of byproducts that may affect our endocrine system, our immune system, that probably aren't really good for us. But it's very hard to avoid unless you're living somewhere in the middle of the Adirondacks or the Catskills in a wood cabin without access to modern devices that unfortunately have these sorts of chemicals. But it's a good question.
Thank you, Jim. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're off and running right here with Dr. Jeff Perkins, a specialist in internal and preventative medicine, including holistic care. So the testes are where this stuff is manufactured?
In men. Yes. Yeah. The testicles have two types of cells. One cell produces sperm, and the other cell produces testosterone.
In both testes, not one or the other.
Yes, it's in both testicles. It's in both testicles, and it's an important point because there are occasionally men who are of fertility age, who they want to have children. They want to be able to produce sperm, but they also have low testosterone. And treating them with external testosterone in any form actually reduces their chance of being fertile because it suppresses external testosterone. There's a feedback loop between the testicles and the hypothalamus and the pituitary. And when a man doesn't make enough testosterone, a hormone called luteinizing hormone, which is secreted from the pituitary, which controls testosterone output in the testicles, should go up. When you give somebody testosterone, it suppresses that. And the problem is that the formation of sperm within the testicles requires testosterone in the testicles.
Right.
Okay. So if you give external testosterone, it blocks the formation of intratesticular testosterone. And that can cause a man with sperm issues to actually have worse sperm issues and increase his chance for being an infertile male.
Isn't that interesting? And those people who have, it's a young man's disease apparently, cancer of the testicles.
Yes.
And they're removed. What happens then?
Well, it would be unusual to have cancer of the testicle. It's unusual, be very rare to have both involved. You know, you're going to have like one involved and that testicle can be removed and the other testicle will compensate and make enough testosterone.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break and we will be right back.
Support comes from Mount St. Mary College, Newburgh, a day-long admissions event for students interested in transferring college credits towards a bachelor's degree. Wednesday, January 13th from 10 to 7, msmc.edu. Nathan LaTower Hospital proudly introducing the gastroenterology specialist of LaTower with Dr. Alvarez, Dr. Romani, and Dr. Raymond, nlh.org. And from the Urological Institute, offering urologic oncology services with prostate specialists using active monitoring protocols designed to help avoid or postpone cancer treatments through imaging and genomic testing. UrologyOncology.com. The Honest Weight Food Co-op, 100 Waterville Avenue, Albany, New York. Specializing in local and organic produce, natural groceries, fine cheeses, locally raised meats, and ready-to-go organic meals. honestweight.coop. And from Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction, albanyrealtygroup.com.
And we are back with my friend Dr. Jeff Perkins. The phones are all ringing. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to George in Highland. Hi, George.
Hi, thank you. My question is, I have been diagnosed with hypogonadism, and I also have been diagnosed with a mild prostate cancer. As such, the regime for therapy, such as giving me testosterone supplements, is not advisable due to the cancer. I was wondering if you have another idea as to what to utilize, or theory, and B, where is a center that they specialize in the treatment of hypogonadism, i.e., low testosterone levels?
Okay,
my testosterone level is under 200 at this point,
okay,
and I am over 73.
Okay, Jeff, just for the heck of it, what is hypergonadism?
Well, hypo means hypo. Low gonadism. Low gonadal function commonly apply to men who have low testosterone. Testicle is the gonad.
I'm sorry, I know how it's used in contemporary language, but what is a gonad?
A gonad is a sexual endocrine gland.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
yeah.
So in women, a gonad would be an ovary.
I see.
And in men, a testicle.
I get it. Okay. George, here's the answer.
Well, that's a very, very good question. And to address the first issue, you should have your physician look at some of the current literature in the sexual medicine literature, in the urology and fertility literature over the last couple of years where this issue has been revisited. In men who have prostate cancer, who have significant and documented hypogonadism, that is symptomatic. And I think that's really one of the key issues because there are risks of testosterone therapy. Okay, it's not riskless. And if a man truly, you know, has documented chemical hypogonadism, very low testosterone, and feels awful because of it, the current literature is suggesting that depending on the aggressiveness of the biopsy, of the Gleason stage biopsy of the prostate cancer and so forth, if it's a less aggressive one, there's no evidence of metastases, that actually some men can be selected for testosterone treatment replacement in low dosage with very close following of the PSA and so forth. But those men have to be highly selected, that they really have to be symptomatic because, you know, doctors have always been afraid that the use of testosterone in a man with prostate cancer, as you know, will cause the prostate cancer to grow and spread. And that's the last thing any of us want to do as physicians. So that's something to have a discussion with your physicians. Now, regarding a center, there are a number of centers in the country on the East Coast. Probably one of the top endocrine doctors who knows the answer to all these things is Dr. Morgan Thaler, Morgenthaler. I believe he's based either in New York or Boston, but you can certainly Google him.
And what was his first name?
I don't remember his first name.
Morgenthaler.
And he's one of the top experts on testosterone issues and complex testosterone issues in men.
And if my reading is 200 approximately on the testosterone level, is that considered quite low?
That's definitely in the quite low range. But again, a lot of it, an interesting thing with testosterone numbers, lab numbers, is they don't necessarily always correlate with symptoms. So, I mean, I've seen men with testosterones of 200 who say, I feel fine. I mean, everything works. My energy and stamina are decent. And I've seen men with testosterones of 325, and they're exhausted, they get tired, they have sexual dysfunction and impotency and so forth. So it's not just the number. It's the application of the number with the person, with the man, to help decide whether or not treatment is indicated.
Hey, George, I'm going to let you go. A lot of people behind
you.
Thank
you so very much.
You're welcome.
Bye, George.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll go to Trace in Schenectady. Is it Trace? Trace?
Hello. Yes. Hi.
How you doing? Go ahead. Ask your question.
Yes. Well, I was on Viagra and Levitra since it first came out. I started having some problems in my late 40s, and now I'm 70. When I was 68, all of a sudden, the Viagra didn't work anymore. And I mean all of a sudden. and I didn't really know what to do. So I made an appointment with a urologist, Dr. McCullough in Albany, and he's great, by the way. He did tests and diagnosis, and
great. But from now on, we don't want to talk names because, you know, we can get into trouble. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
anyway,
okay.
So he said he did a bunch of tests, and he said we got to, you know, find out what the root of this is, and it turns out it was low testosterone, and he said we have to also find out, you know, if you have any blood flow problems, which I did not. And so he said, we're going to try an experiment here. He says, we're going to try this generic drug called anastrozole. I don't know if it's all right to say that.
Anyway,
it's an estrogen pill for women. And he said, what it does is it fools the brain into thinking it needs to make more testosterone.
Right.
And he said, well, wait a couple of weeks and we'll do a blood test. And he says, we'll find out. Well, sure enough, my testosterone went from like 350, 400 up to 750. And that was the magic pill. I mean, everything's been fine ever since. I don't take it every day. I take it like every 3 days because I don't really want my testosterone up to 750. It's right around 500 now and everything works good. So,
well, yeah, you're talking basically about a class of drugs called aromatase inhibitors that block the testosterone in all men. Some more, some less. Testosterone is converted to estrogen. And in some men, it's more. And when that happens is you lose the effect of testosterone and you're making more estrogen. And drugs like this, like tamoxifen, the drug you mentioned, are in this class of drugs that basically will block this conversion and give you more testosterone. And sometimes they can work quite well to raise testosterone levels and correct the symptomatology.
Thanks. Thank you, Trace.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, the name of the doctor that you named is Abraham Morgenthaler.
That's right.
It's M-O-R-G-N-T-A-L-E-R, Morgenthaler, and he's at the Harvard Medical
School. That's correct.
School.
Thank you. I forgot that. Thank you.
There you go. Thanks a lot for that. Okay, we'll go. We heard from Trace, and now we'll go to John in Highland. John, you're on.
Well, thank you very much. My question concerns homeopathic testosterone replacement, and I just wonder if that seemed a good way to go, and you mentioned risks. I just wondered what his ideas are on that.
Well, it's a good question. This does come up in practice periodically, and the homeopath, I don't practice homeopathy. But in a holistic, you know, sense of practicing medicine, when we look at plant-based medicines, there is one particular plant that stands out that can increase the production of testosterone. It's called fenugreek, F-E-N-U-G-R-E-E-K. And there's various compounds that contain fenugreek. And it can have a modest effect. Another thing that can have a modest effect, actually, is if you have a low vitamin D level. Vitamin D is necessary for many body's hormonal synthetic activities, including the production of testosterone. So sometimes mild low testosterone is simply corrected by replacing vitamin D.
And now, would this be D3?
Yeah, this is D3, yes. In the Northeast up here, at this latitude, truly 75% of people are vitamin D deficient.
I take stuff every day.
Yeah, as do I, because, you know, most of us work indoors. We're not running around outside in loincloths making vitamin D in the summer months.
And Jeff is the guy who brought vitamin D, as you may remember. He did several lectures for us, and we gave out many, many of those to people who were listening to WAMC on vitamin D. And we thank you for that, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Okay, so, John, you're taking your vitamin D. How much are you taking?
Oh, whatever, you know, whatever my girlfriend gives me, basically. whatever a standard dose is in a good...
Yeah, the standard standard dose that most of my patients I would recommend that they take is generally between 2,000 and 5,000 units of vitamin D3 a day. Now, the form is very important, so the body absorbs it, and it should either be in the form of a gel capsule or a liquid or an oil, not a dry powder or a dry tablet.
Yeah. Okay.
John
good.
From Highland, did you? No, never mind. Thanks, John. Appreciate it so much. Thanks
Thank
for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. 1-800-348-2551, one free phone. Let's go to Dick in Longmeadow. Dick, you're on.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. With the advent of an internist treating many different diseases, he's prescribing a lot of different medications. And some of these medications can, believe it or not, do good things for high blood pressure and for diabetes, but they can lower testosterone. And I'm just going to kind of bring it to an article that was in New England Journal of Medicine, and they were showing that atorvastatin lowered testosterone levels. And there were a lot of people on atorvastatin, which you know as Lipitor. And I just wonder if you could comment on that.
Yeah, you know, theoretically, you know, this does happen. But in my experience, it doesn't happen a lot. I've seen very few men who are truly have very low testosterone levels from taking any statin. Atorvastatin is one of, you know, half a dozen or so popularly used statin cholesterol-lowering medications. And so it can, you know, have, in my experience, a mild lowering effect. Very few men are symptomatic from it. But then, as always, in all things in medicine, there has to be a balance of the risk of the medication versus the benefit of the medication. So if, for example, if a 65-year-old man has already had a heart attack, he's had a bypass surgery, he has documented atherosclerosis, he should be on a statin, you know,
right,
likely the rest
right,
of his
yeah.
life, you know. Not sure so much for a 65-year-old man who's never had heart disease, who has a modest elevation of cholesterol, doesn't have a strong family history of heart disease or other major cardiac risk factors. I think statins are often overused in that situation.
Well, there is an article. I'm so sorry for taking this deviation with you, Jeff, but I wanted to do it before my feeble mind forgot. In the Berkshire Eagle today, there's an article by a Harvard columnist who's a physician. Who says that there's a major study now that shows something like 16 to 20% increase in people having heart attacks who take statins. Does this ring a bell with you?
First time I've heard this.
Okay, I'll make sure before you leave the building
you have
this article and you'll be able to come back to us. Dick from Long Meadow, what else you got?
That's it. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I know somebody in our wonderful front office will go into the blue ash can in my office and find the Berkshire Eagle. I know that will happen. Okay, and of course they could be listening to rock and roll, and then they wouldn't even hear me say that. Let's go to Bob in Scotchtown. Okay, Bob, you're on.
Hi, how are you? I have a question. It's about what type of testosterone can be administered to a person who doesn't want to fatigue their liver? Because I'm in a situation where I've been gaining weight, I have no energy, I've gone to a doctor, I have low testosterone, it's obvious I'm releasing a lot of cortisol, and I do need testosterone to help to get my levels back up there. I'm 49 years old, and it doesn't seem like he says that it's safe at this point because of the elevated enzymes in my liver as well as in my spleen, which are going down. So I'm wondering what type of testosterone you could take that won't fatigue the liver.
You know, if there are issues with your liver and so forth, to my knowledge, I mean, there's no form of testosterone that isn't going to have to go through your liver at some level to be metabolized and may cause a problem. I mean, testosterone comes in several different forms. I mean, there's topical gels. There's injectable testosterone. There's little pellets that can be injected in the skin. They're long-acting reservoirs of testosterone. There's even testosterone like pledgets that fit in your mouth under the gum line. But they all get absorbed and ultimately, you know, have to have some clearance through the liver. So if you have, you know, liver issues and spleen issues, I mean, the question is why, and that needs to be investigated. And I think that's the primary issue before any consideration of testosterone administration in any form.
Okay, Bob.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that the fenugreek would affect that the same way?
Well, it potentially might, yes, because it's going to raise your testosterone level. And again, this might be an issue for you. So you need to have your liver issue resolved before you even approach this question.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Yep,
thank you.
Okay, and we'll go to Mark in Hillsdale. Okay, Mark in Hillsdale, congratulations.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yes, good afternoon. This is, I guess, probably to the younger side of the spectrum. I'm expecting my first child in a couple of weeks now. And I was just wondering if the good doctor could explain what type of, whether it's physiological or emotional anxiety, things like that, that affect that would affect a new father coming in, you know, if there's things that occur there.
I think, could you be more specific? What kind of issues are you concerned about specifically?
Very quick to anger and frustration. Not necessarily at the boss, so to speak, but more just, you know, trying to put up shelves and something doesn't go right, and just very, things like that. I work in a pretty high testosterone environment. I'm a firefighter in the city, so, you know, things elevated there constantly. So if there's highs and lows in mood and things like that, if that's a normal reaction.
Well, I think I understand your question now, I believe. And I think certainly any major life change, you know, in any of us can affect us one way or the other. Some people might get depressed, okay? Some people might get more irritable and more quick to anger when dealing with a major life change. And certainly having a child is a huge major life change, usually a very, very positive one, but one that creates, you know, a set of anxieties and concerns, that range from financial concerns about providing for the child and the mother of the child, your wife, and all, you know, the impact of a child on a household and their responsibilities. And it may simply be that, but, you know, it could be a lot more. And, you know, if this sort of thing continues, I mean, there are certain things that you may want to consider doing, and you may want to sit down with a psychologist, a mental health person, you know, who can help you through this, because the last thing that you want to exhibit in front of your wife and certainly the newborn is to be an angry person.
Okay. I love the show. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Best of luck.
Appreciate your calling. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Ramon in Roe. Ramon?
Yes. Hello. You answered part of my question earlier because I'm on blood medication for high blood pressure and cholesterol.
Yep.
Hello?
Yes. Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
But my question is that... I am 64. My sexual desires and drive is just about as strong as when I was a teenager. But I've noticed in the past 4 or 5 years that the amount of semen I produce in my organ has reduced to only, reduced by 95%.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, would that medication be affecting that?
Well, it can be. Certain medications can certainly affect semen quantity.
I also have one of those physical conditions where they call, I don't know what the term is where one of my testicles is smaller and to the right inside my body. It very rarely, you know, it's down extended with the other one.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been of an injury I was told I had when I was a little kid. But I was just wondering if my medication itself that I'm taking would be part. I guess it's not affecting my testosterone level, and that I still have a very healthy appetite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, there certainly you want to discuss this with your physician. I mean, that's most important. And you should get an exam, which includes an examination of your prostate gland to make sure that it feels normal, as well as, you know, your testicles. But certainly there are medications which can affect semen output, semen quantity. But again, you need to be evaluated by your doctor to make sure it doesn't represent anything other than just normal aging. Or is it a drug side effect that a switch of drugs will take care of?
Ramon, I wish we could give you some more time, but we can't. We have to take a break.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. Go, Zach.
Support comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Handpicked selections of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons, grapesandgrainswine.com. HPA Live Well, Albany, New York, providing a spectrum of psychological services, including individual and family counseling, ADHD testing, multicultural counseling, treatment for eating disorders, and more, albanyhpa.com. Ellis Medicine, providing options, support, and help for surgical weight loss at the Ellis Bariatric Care Center in Schenectady, ellismedicine.org. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. And from Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades. ShannonRose.com.
With Dr. Jeffrey Perkins. We love him, and we're glad he's here with us today. All the phones are ringing, so we'll go, Jeff, as quickly as we can with each of these people, right? Okay.
All right.
We'll go to Ron in Colony. Okay, Ron, you're on.
Yeah, hi, guys. What I'll do real quick is I just want to give and get the doctor's opinion on natural hormone builders. And one of the really good ones is pine pollen extract, because it has natural, identical testosterone, just like the human body. You can make it yourself. You can get it in tinctures. Daniel Vitale sells it. But also there's like bee pollen, maca, coconut cream. There's just elk velvet antler. And there's a lot more of them. You can just check it out in the different books. But also, Lipitor and all these drugs that lower cholesterol, that's just crazy. And because you need cholesterol to make hormones. So it makes no sense, and they keep lowering that.
Okay.
I think we talked
all right,
about
all
that.
All right, all right. Hey, Ron, that's it for you for now. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right.
So let me try to respond. First of all, I really have no personal experience prescribing any these sorts of natural products, and nor do I know of any good scientific literature that supports them. You can see all kinds of stuff written about things of this sort, but
when you
ask the people who are selling them to you, say, give me a study. Give me a good double-blind study, of 250, 500 people who use these products to show that it really did elevate their testosterone levels and it made them more functional.
Can I give you an example?
Individual stories are one thing, but it's not the same as a study, because a lot of things can happen, results can happen by chance,
right.
And that's why you need
Dr.
a study.
Do you know Dr. Frank Schallenberger?
No, I don't.
Okay, listen, hey, Ron, we're not having a debate here. Jeff's going to give you the answer. That's it.
No, I'm not debating. I'm trying to get the information out.
Well, we're trying to give you some information, but you interrupt. Go ahead.
So anyway, again, I can't answer. I mean, I would love to answer your question, Frank, but again, I don't have really experience using any of those issues.
Well, I just want your opinion on it, that's all. Yeah, because, there are books out, and it's Steve Harrod Buhner has a great one.
Okay.
David Wolf, Longevity Now. These are all in there.
Okay, Ron, thank you very much. Okay, we'll go to Bob in Glenville. Bob, you're on. Bob, you there? Hello? Whoa. Well, that's the end of Bob. Okay, let's go to Rich in Whitesboro. Okay, Rich, you're on.
Oh, okay, thanks. I was wondering, testosterone level draws, would these things affect it, like Flomax or Saw Palmetto or beta cystosterol, which is part of it?
Yeah.
Or, and not to be funny, you get a very attractive phlebotomist.
Well, it's okay. No, you're not being funny. And certainly regarding the latter issue is, biology is very important. And, we're designed to reproduce, all living beings and species, whether you're an amoeba or a horse or a human being, designed to reproduce. And seeing an attractive person of the opposite sex, if you're a heterosexual person, will actually, raise your testosterone. If you're a man, raise your testosterone level a bit, raise your cortisol levels and epinephrine and norepinephrine levels a bit, and that's all normal biology. Okay. So, but it probably wouldn't be a huge surge. Now, the drugs and supplements that you mentioned really shouldn't have any significant effect on testosterone levels. Finasteride or Proscar affects testosterone conversion primarily within the prostate gland, but it doesn't really affect the overall serum testosterone level in any significant way. But the time of the day is really important. You know, all of us who are daytime workers and nighttime sleepers have this natural circadian rhythm, and that dogs have and wolves have and cows and horses and human beings have, which is all of our hormones and other parts of the body start to become active, wake up, so to speak, about 2 hours before sunrise throughout the year. And one of the things that happens is testosterone starts going up, cortisol goes up, norepinephrine and adrenaline go up, all to prepare us for the day. So valid testosterone levels really are the ones that are taken before 10 o'clock in the morning. They will start to go down normally, you know, by 3, 4 p.m. Before sunset, the testosterone values can be, you know, significantly lower than the morning values. So I always tell my male patients to go for, you know, a morning. They don't have to fast if you're just testing testosterone, but they have to get it before 10 o'clock in the morning.
Huh. Hey, Rich, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to another Rich in Kingston. I can't see the number. Can you see that, Jeff, on top of the first one there? What number is that? Because the shade, it's in the shade there.
Two, I think.
Two? Yeah. Okay, Rich in Kingston. All right. Thanks, Rich.
Hello. Hi. I found out that I was low in testosterone and tried the testosterone gel, but then my prostate basically locked up within like 24 hours.
Right.
So I had to stop taking that. And I've been ill with Lyme disease for a number of years, and it's probably a contributing factor. I was wondering, you know, I have the guy who mentioned the Booner book on alternative testosterone. I have that, and I've tried the pine pollen. It seems to help, but I feel like I need something a little bit more stronger. So what do you think my options could be at this point?
Well, you know, you do bring up a good point. In some men, even normal amounts of testosterone replacement therapy in any form can cause the prostate gland to swell, actually, and can be very uncomfortable and affect urinary abilities and cause pain and so forth. I've had a couple of men that reacted this way to normal low doses to start them with, and we had to stop it. So, you know, the one option that you may want to discuss with your physician, as I mentioned earlier, is the fenugreek option that may raise your testosterone. But again, you have to be careful if, for example, if you have diabetes, fenugreek can lower blood sugar and cause hypoglycemia. But, you know, that's a substance you should do a little research about and clear it with your personal physician to make sure he or she thinks it's safe for you.
Now, fenugreek isn't that usually considered a spice flavoring?
It's in the spice flavoring group, but also in larger doses, it's a plant-based medicine.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard. Okay, let's go to Monica in New Paltz. Monica.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just curious and wondering if you know anything about testosterone issues possibly causing uterine fibroids in women?
I don't know anything in a sense of a primary relationship, i.e. a woman with high testosterone having uterine fibroids, but theoretically I could understand it because testosterone is a growth hormone. It's one of the growth hormones that are in the human body, and versions of testosterone, the so-called anabolic hormones that you know, that weightlifters, for example, some weightlifters will use, all have effect on growth. So if fibroids are present, certainly there is a potential for, theoretically, for testosterone to cause those fibroids to increase in size.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica.
You're welcome.
1-800-348-2551. Jeff, we've just heard by the email. Could Dr. Perkins state the number levels of testosterone that are low, normal, and high? Are there different scoring systems or generally just one? Parenthesis, my understanding is 300, less than 300 is low, but have seen 260 to 270 on a hospital lab report labeled normal. Thank you from Bob.
Yeah, that's a great question, Bob. And there are variations depending on the laboratory performing the tests of what they consider normal range. But in general, most of us would consider that testosterone range is normally between 300 and 900. So below 300, you're probably having a low testosterone. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be symptomatic. My goal is when I order a testosterone level, if I'm suspicious that a man may have low testosterone, and it does come back low, my goal in replacing testosterone is to use a dosage that brings the level up somewhere between 400 and 600, you know, a normal range, what it should be, if it would be safe for the patient to take testosterone.
Okay, thank you. And let's go to Bob in Glenville. Bob in Glenville, you're on. Bob.
Yes. I have a question about the decreased amount of, fertility.
Yes, go ahead. What is your question?
Well, basically, I'm wondering about the testosterone level. I'm taking risperidone. And I noticed that it did say something about reduced testosterone levels.
Well, you're taking the drug risperidone, did you say?
Yeah.
Well, that can affect testosterone metabolism. A number of drugs can, and then that can potentially affect, as we spoke earlier about the ability to make adequate numbers of healthy sperm.
I see.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Let's go to Casey in the Berkshires. Okay. Hiya there, Casey. You're on.
Hi there.
You're on.
I'm wondering about the effectiveness of testosterone for postmenopausal woman, which I am, and I am on hormone replacement. If this is something that you recommend.
Well, it's a good question and a complex question because the studies generally in women who've been given testosterone, unless they have lost their desire for sexual relations, they just have no libido. When they have sex, they don't feel anything. It's just not pleasurable anymore. If they have this hypoactive sexual desire, replacing testosterone because a woman is menopausal, absent hypoactive sexual desire syndrome, doesn't really seem to do much good. And you have to be very careful in dosing testosterone in women because the monthly dose of testosterone in women is basically about 1/15th to 1/20th the dose that you would give a man. And it doesn't come that way. The drugs aren't made that way. They're made for men. So you have to have a pharmacist compound the drug to make it dilute enough so that an application, usually it's a form of a cream, applied to the forearm every day, equals 1/15th to 1/20th of the monthly dose that a man would get. But again, it seems to have very limited use in women. And again, there are potential side effects. For example, I once had a woman patient who really wanted to try it. So she was having hypoactive sexual desire and so forth, postmenopausal woman. And she used the usual amount. And after about 4 to 6 weeks, she came back and she said, I really want to stop this stuff. You know, I'm irritable. I get upset all the time. I just feel this kind of aggressiveness and anger that I never felt before.
Wow.
And we stopped it, and she was back to her usual very pleasant self.
Casey, I'm trying to get everybody in. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Pat in Port Jervis. Pat, you're on.
Hi. My question is related to not testosterone, but melatonin as the sleep aid. I know it's like a natural hormone that is supposed to help you sleep, but I've read some concerns about the possibility of triggering a negative feedback that would actually, lead to more difficulty in sleeping. Do you know anything about that?
Well, you know, that sometimes can happen with any of these sleep preparations. But you're right. Melatonin is a natural hormone secreted by the upper hypothalamus, posterior pituitary. And we normally secrete it a couple of hours before bedtime. But after age 30, the synthesis of melatonin decreases. And that's why as people age, one of the reasons they tend to have sleep problems, because you're not making enough melatonin. And so by taking melatonin, it sometimes can be helpful, but you have to take it a couple hours before sleep. And certainly it's one of the compounds I recommend before we get into with my patients, you know, prescription drugs for sleep, which can be habit forming, lose their effect, and actually, as you said, cause the opposite, not getting enough sleep.
Pat, we're going to let you go. Thank you. We'll go to Mike in Middlebury. Mike in Middlebury, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a question about, I started taking testosterone at a pretty young age, I think 36 years old, and it was for, I had a long history of opioid abuse, and I think it affected my levels.
Right.
And I had this profuse sweating that happened all the time. And we treated it with testosterone, it solved it. So I went from the pump, now I'm on injections.
Mm-hmm.
And if we tried to kind of take, you know, lower them and see what happened, and my levels drop immediately, so I need it. My question is, what's the future going to, am I going to be on this for 40 years, and will I continually need a higher dose, or will I maybe not need it when I get older? Kind of what's the future hold, and what's the long-term use of it?
Yeah.
What effects does that have on me?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I make the assumption you're not using narcotics or opiates in any
right,
form.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
So the question is, you know, how much damage was done to your testicles?
Right.
And so there's two issues here. You know, was there any sort of permanent damage done to your testicles where they can't synthesize enough testosterone anymore? Or is there something else going on why you can't make testosterone? You know,
right.
Has your
I'm going to tell you, they shrunk like crazy
right.
after I started taking the testosterone.
That's what happens because it's the feedback loop, okay? So your testicles, just like when you give someone has borderline low thyroid hormone function and you give them thyroid hormone, the thyroid gland will shrink.
Okay.
And sometimes the gland, you know, has trouble recovering, and particularly with the testicles, it seems that when the testicles mechanically shrink down, I mean physically shrink down, because of external testosterone is being supplied, it may take them a very long time to recover. And what happens is when a man goes without testosterone in that situation, who's dependent upon it, unfortunately, they feel terrible. You know,
right.
they feel
yeah.
sweaty, they feel weak, they
yep.
feel
exactly.
moody, get depressed. I mean,
yes.
they just feel awful.
That's right.
So
that's
it might be that you will require a testosterone replacement, you know, indefinitely.
Okay.
But it depends, you know, what happens as you age, if you develop any conditions that would require testosterone to be reduced or withdrawn from your care.
Okay, Mike, I got to let you go. We have only one last call. Lisa, you have 1 minute for your question and your answer. Go ahead.
All right, thanks. I may have missed this. You might have just covered it, but I've been diagnosed by blood work with low testosterone for years. I'm 38 years old, and my doctor's always blowed off saying, you're a woman, there's nothing we can do anyway. I was just wondering your take on actually doing something about this.
Well, I guess the question is, does it affect you?
Yeah, I don't feel great. Have a hard time losing weight, always cold. A lot of the kind of hypothyroid symptoms, mm-hmm. which I'm also low in,
mm-hmm.
But the thyroid, I can't remember, or not the thyroid, rather, the testosterone, well, I feel like it comes back as a 2 or 3 on lab work.
Lisa, I got to stop
yep.
you because we're almost done.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, real quick, 2 seconds. Number one is it may not help you, but number
okay.
two, it's very important that your doctor, if not done already, does a bone density scan to check your bones for osteopenia or osteoporosis, because that's one of the causes in both men and women of osteoporosis is low testosterone.
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay, Lisa, I'm so sorry we couldn't give you some more time. We are out of time. I'm so sorry for Lisa because I would have liked to spend more time with her. I want to thank Dr. Jeff Perkins for joining us today. Support for Medical Monday comes from Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York. offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living apartments, home care, and more. KingswayCommunity.com. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, Joe Makowitz for answering the phones, our producers Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/Vox Pop. Stay tuned now for a news update.